Welcome to the All or Something Living podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Kepler, and this podcast is all about ditching black and white thinking and exploring the gray areas of health, happiness, and everything in between. If you're ready to feel empowered and inspired, then let's get to it. Hello, my darling, and welcome to the All or Something Living podcast, episode 25. I sounded very British there, but maybe it's because I lived in England for 4 years at one point in my life, or maybe it's just been because I've been watching too much reality TV with British people. Who knows? Anyway, so my birthday is in 2 days from when this episode is airing. So I'm not going to do a huge celebration this year. It's kind of financially a tight year since I quit my job and took a pay cut and, you know, just a full-time student, poor student. But I'm keeping things low-key, but I guess for my birthday, and this sounds really weird, but I don't know if you do this, but on my birthdays, I always kind of reflect on the year and where I am in life. And so I was thinking about my birthday this year and just how I've been feeling in general this year. And I've been doing this podcast for about 6 months now. And so for my birthday, and as I do this reflection, I just want to say thank you so much for supporting me by listening to this podcast. Whether this is your first time listening, welcome. I hope that you stay. I hope you get something out of it. If you've been listening from the beginning, if you've been with me from the beginning of this journey, thank you so much. Like, you just bring so much joy to my life. You are my livelihood. You're the reason that I do what I do. So thank you for being here. I'm turning 29 this year, and the last 4 years have been a really big time for me. I woke up on my 25th birthday. I'd say like my favorite years started from the time that I turned 25. So I woke up on my 25th birthday the night before I had my birthday celebration with some friends at a restaurant the night before. And I was having a good time, but one of my friends, who was my best friend at the time, just blew up on me at the end of my birthday party and just like told me how I was being a selfish person and I didn't think about anybody else. And I don't know, it just kind of ruined my night. And so I woke up on my 25th birthday the next morning and I just had this epiphany. Like, I was, first of all, like, I don't need people in my life like that are going to get upset when they aren't the center of attention. Although, of course, I reflected on like what part that I had in that, but I just kind of was like, I don't want to go down the same path that I've been going down right now. So that's when I started this whole journey. It was the age of 25 when I went to health coaching school and I made some major life transitions. And since then, it's been a 4-year journey. That's when I started this business. And so in 4 years alone, I feel like this is where I've learned the most of the life lessons that I'm going to share with you in this episode. But anyway, it's really the time that I became woke. So I don't know about you, what your favorite age has been so far, whatever age you are when you are listening to this, but a lot of people kind of felt that shift at age 25. So maybe it's the quarter life crisis, or I don't know what it was, but things since 25 have just seemed to go uphill. Of course, I've had my ups and downs. Last year was a very rocky year. At this time last year, I had moved out of my house that I was living in with my now fiance, so that worked out fine, but we were going on 5 years in our relationship, and it was kind of that make or break point. So I moved out for a month last year, spent my birthday away from him, my 28th birthday away from him, and last year was just a really big year for reflection. Like, it was just kind of that last, like, probably not going to be the last time that I go through that, but it was one of those times where it was like, I got to figure out who I am again and what I'm doing with my life. And so it really helped me get clear on that. But It all started at 25. So in honor of my birthday this year, I'm going to share with you 10 of the most important life lessons that I've learned in my 29 years on this earth. And I don't know why, but once also I hit 25, I stopped counting. So I'm surprised I'm only 25 by now. Like, it feels like the time since 25 has gone on, like, dragged on forever. So I feel like I should be 30, but 29 is just such a weird year. It feels like such an insignificant year. So before we dive into those 10 lessons, I just want to let you know that this episode is sponsored by the Self-Care Builder Course. So if you're someone who tends to prioritize others before yourself, if you have a problem saying no, if you're not even sure in what ways you should be honoring your health other than eating a certain way or exercising, then this is the course for you. The Self-Builder course includes an extensive list of possible self-care activities to implement into your life. The activities range from something as simple as dry brushing to meditation, breathing exercises, coping mechanisms, and much more. The point of the course is not to add a long list of shoulds that we already have enough of in our lives, but it's rather meant to cut down on that list so that you can experiment with what really fills you up and rejuvenates you, and then focus on those things. The course will take you through 3 distinct sections that each build on each other. The goal by the end of the course is to have experienced a transformation, not only in the way that you relate to your body, but how you relate to your emotions, your relationships, and many other areas of your life. When you learn to deeply care for yourself, it changes the way you show up in your life. And most of us want to show up as our best selves. That way we can get the most out of our lives. And the self-care, the idea of self-care, is the bridge that will get you there. You can check out that course by going to the show notes, or you can visit laurenkepler.com and select the courses tab. All right, so on to the 10 lessons that I've learned. And just so you know, I put these in no particular order. And some of them will sound also very similar, but they are all slightly different. So first lesson is that your parents were doing the best they could. Now, if you're not a parent yourself by now, then you might not understand this. If you are a parent by now, then you probably realize this pretty quickly. And I'm not a biological parent, but I do have a 13-year-old stepson that moved in with us. He lives with us full time, and he's 13 now. He moved in with us when he was about 9. So I immediately recognized after he moved in how difficult it was. Like, I had this idea in my head of the kind of parent that I wanted to be, the kind of life that we wanted to build for him when he moved in. And it's a lot different when it's a human that has their own personality, their own, you know, traits. And sometimes you don't relate to them. Sometimes it feels very alien. And yeah, gosh, people tell me I'm too hard on myself, but I don't think I am a good parent at all to him. And I don't know if this is because, you know, he's not my biological child, but I've talked to biological parents and step parents, and it seems like there's a lot of similar feelings where I come into it every single day with this idea still of how I want to be, and then something happens and it sets me off, and I don't react in ways that I identify as my highest self that I wish that I would. But I always try to stay humble and recognize when I make a mistake, and I try to teach him the lessons that are important and try to be there for him when I can. But just like my parents did, I am doing the best that I can, and I understand that he is going to blame me for something. I feel like all kids blame their parents for something. He's going to be angry at me for something, and honestly, I'm not going to blame him for that. I'm not going to fault him for being upset at something that I do, but I just hope that he understands too one day that I am doing the best that I can do. So I still get angry at my parents sometimes, but whenever I go up and visit them, I talk to them about how I feel, and I'm honest about it. And I definitely try not to and I make it apparent to them when I talk to them about how I feel, I don't blame them for the feelings that I have. Like, I don't expect them to take responsibility for my feelings, because I know it's easier to not expect them to take responsibility when I understand that they were doing the best that they could. So I don't blame them for who I am today. Like, you know, it's so easy to take on the victim mentality and say, this happened in my childhood, my parents ruined me, so this is why I am who I am today. You are an adult now. I'm an adult now. And if I have a problem with how I was raised, or there is something that I don't like about how I was raised, it's up to me to make the changes and to turn my life into what I want it to be, and for me to decide who to become, who I want to be. Because it's not an empowering thought to think that, to feel that I'm stuck in the circumstances of my childhood and how I was raised. So I forgive my parents for everything. And, you know, I know I pissed them off when I was growing up, so I forgive them, and now I feel empowered to move on with my life. The second thing that I learned is that failure is a great opportunity to learn something, and this is something that I'm still really getting used to, an idea that I'm still getting used to. This is probably something that hit me about a year or two ago, because failure used to and still does scare the shit out of me. But I have started to realize that the more that I fail, like, the closer I get to success. So the more I put myself in a position to fail, the more I put myself in a position to learn. And then every time that I learn, I get better and I grow and I grow and I get closer to that success. If I'm never failing, then it means that I'm not really trying and I'm not really pushing myself out of my comfort zone. So it means that I'm not really closer to becoming the person that I want to be. So the more that I allow myself to fail, the more that I put myself in a position to fail, the less intimidating that it is. Then it just becomes kind of a habit of, like, you know, I'm just gonna get into this, see what happens, and what's the worst that could happen? I fail, I'm embarrassed, or whatever, and I still get to learn something from it. The next thing that I've learned is that your relationships are your livelihood. The relationships that you have in your life, those matter a lot. When I was, when I had first moved out of my parents' house, my family didn't matter a lot to me. I just thought that they were kind of a throwaway item because I hadn't known what it was like to live without them. I hadn't seen any other life. So when my grandma died at the age of, when I was, I think it was 18 or 19. I didn't live with my parents at the time, but when she died, we found out that night. I was with some friends, but then I went over to my parents' house. And I don't know that I've ever actually told my family this story, but I got there and obviously my mom was really upset. All of our family, we were hanging out at my parents' house, and everybody was going to stay the night because everyone was upset. And I was like, no, I'm just going to go home. You know why I wanted to go home? Because I wanted to call my booty call. That was the who I thought was more important at the time. So my mom was like, are you sure? Are you going to be okay? And I was like, yeah. So I went home to my apartment. I told my booty call, who I thought cared about me at the time. I texted him and I said, my grandma just died, I'm upset. And he was like, I forget what he said. He said something really cold. And I was like, can you please come over? I feel sad and lonely. And he was like, he didn't want any part of that. So that's just one story of how much I took my family for granted and how I put everybody else over them at the time. I didn't realize how important, first of all, family, but also relationships were until I joined the military and I lived across the world over in England. And when I first arrived in England, obviously I had nobody that I knew there. My supervisor, who was to be my supervisor, picked me up from the airport. Him and his wife dropped me off at my dorm room. I opened the door to my dorm room and stepped into an empty, cold room, and I had nobody. And I immediately started crying and felt so, like, terrified that I had nobody there. And obviously I built friendships while I was there, and those friendships were some of the most important friendships in my life. And so friendships really matter. Find those loyal friends that are there, that you can rely on, that you can trust, and hold those people close. Those are the friendships that you want to invest in. Those are the relationships you want to invest in, and choose them wisely. And set boundaries when you need to. Obviously, sometimes, because family is, you know, a relationship that's not chosen, if you kind of have situations with your family where you need to set boundaries, or even friends, if you have to set boundaries, don't be afraid to do that. Understand the levels of the relationships in your life and understand who fills you up the most, and spend the most time investing in those people. But more than your relationship to others, and this is key, your relationship to yourself is what matters the most. Because if you can't have a healthy relationship with yourself, you cannot have a healthy relationship with other people. This isn't a lesson that I learned. I said that weird. This is a lesson that I didn't learn until 4 years ago, and it's been such a game changer for me. I was so mean to myself for so many years. I had such negative self-talk, and obviously it still pops up from time to time, but I learned to become my biggest advocate, my biggest ally. And when nobody else is there for me, because there are times when other people have, we're all so wrapped up in our own lives, in our own selves. And so we all have something going on. And when I'm in a position where I need somebody to be there for me, but nobody seems to be because everybody's busy living their own lives, this is when it's so important for me to have a good relationship to myself. And it's taken time to build that. It's taken a lot of intention and a lot of awareness, but it's been so worth building that relationship. If you want to learn how to have a better relationship with yourself, I have a free 10-day self-love challenge that I will pop in the show notes for you. I have one friend that's on day 3 of it right now, and she's already like feeling a major shift in the way that she's talking to herself and the way that she's treating herself. So that can help you guide you in the right direction. The next lesson that I learned is that alcohol and food will not fulfill you. I spent so much of my life, like in my family, it was normal to drink. So I started drinking at a very young age. That was the way that I first learned how to like cope with the emotions of being a teenager and to have fun and to deal with my social anxiety. And I know that sounds really bad, but I know that I'm not the only one who has experienced that. And then food, I learned before I could even drink alcohol, I learned how to cope with my feelings using food. I used both of those as a coping mechanism. Food, I used as a coping mechanism until I was 25. And obviously emotional eating is still a thing occasionally. And then alcohol is something that I'm still, actually, I think I'm past that part now, but I didn't know how to have fun without alcohol, or again, the social anxiety aspect. And then a lot of times I found myself saying after a hard week, I need some alcohol, or when I'd feel really frustrated. Thankfully, I've done the work and I don't have those feelings anymore. I have found other coping mechanisms. But one of the biggest regrets that I have in life, and I don't have many regrets, but when I was living in Europe from the age of 19 to the age of about 22, going on 23, I got the opportunity to travel all over Europe. So I went to places like Italy and Germany and Croatia and Prague and Greece and France. I did so much traveling there. And guess what? I wasn't present for any of it because all I ever did when I traveled was drink and eat until I numbed out and I felt like crap. And that's because I didn't know any other way at the time. I didn't know how to be present. I didn't like myself. I didn't like my life, really. So now I can't get that time back. I can't go back and be a 19 to 23 year old again and re-travel Europe. I wish I would have known before how to be present and experience life without numbing myself out through other substances. Now, I want to be clear that I'm not demonizing alcohol or food, but whatever vice that you use to make yourself feel better, that's not like, I don't know, that's not like a natural thing. Whatever vice that is your version of alcohol and food, just know that it's not going to fulfill you in the way that you need to be fulfilled. Yes, those things can be a supplement to your life, but they can't be the source of your happiness. I love food and I love to enjoy food, but I don't love to use food to numb myself out anymore. I like the feeling of having drinks with friends or sometimes just having a drink by myself. But I also, again, use alcohol now as a supplement to my happiness and not the source, or the supplement to my enjoyment, not the source. So your vices will not fulfill you. You have to find what really spiritually fills you up. The next thing I learned is to protect my energy. So I first, again, this is another concept I learned, I think at the age, around the age of 25, but I learned about this thing called the energy bubble when I was first learning about spirituality and energy. And your energy bubble is basically, it can be the bubble that keeps you safe and protected. So I imagine with my energy bubble that I'm in this bubble. It makes me think of, what is that movie, like Bubble Boy or something? I only heard about it from watching Superstar growing up, and it's like Bubble Boy has to wear a bubble around himself because he always, like, he's, germs can kill him or something like that. So I imagine that I have a bubble around me like he does. With my energy bubble, I can only release positive energy out of that bubble. So I can release good energy, and then any negative energy or draining energy that comes my way hits the bubble and reflects off of it. So it can't penetrate my bubble. Only positive energy can come out and in. Negative energy stops. So negative energy is the germs that get stopped by the bubble. Your energy is going to be one of your most valuable assets. If you're feeling drained all the time, it's going to affect how you show up in life, in your relationships, how productive you are, everything. So you need to learn how to protect your energy. The other thing I learned is to listen, 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 and learn how to care for people other than yourself. All people, what people mostly want in life is to be seen, to be heard, to be acknowledged. And the best way that you can build connection and stronger relationships and to better someone's day or their life is to listen to them. Even if what you think that they have to say is insignificant, just listen. Just acknowledge them. Just accept their experience. And I am working on this one hard right now because this does not come easy to me. I swear I have ADD and I easily get so bored. And I've had this excuse that I've made in my head that, like, people aren't interesting. And this sounds so bad, but sometimes I'm like, nobody has anything interesting to say, so I just don't want to hear it. But we can learn so much from other people, and you can build really strong relationships and networks with people when you learn to listen to them and actually care what they have to say. The other thing that I've learned is that nothing good ever came from a comfort zone. And I know, it's cliche, but it is so true. Getting out of your comfort zone will be, well, uncomfortable. It's gonna feel like you're jumping off a cliff with no net, but trust that there will be a great reward waiting on the other side. It may not always be the reward that you're expecting, but again, going back to the idea of failure, you can't lose because you're always gonna learn something from it. The next thing I learned that's very similar to comfort zones stepping out of your comfort zone is to feel the fear and do it anyway. Get used to fear being there. It's going to be there, especially when you are trying to play big, when you're trying to do bigger things. Your fear is going to kick in because that's your primal instinct to keep you safe, fight or flight mode, fight, flight or freeze mode. You're going to be afraid, but that's not a reason to stop and to not push forward. So go through the motion. Take the next step, whether or not you feel the fear. Yes, you might fail, but you will fail forward. And I know maybe you've heard that saying before. I've heard it like 100 times now. Fail forward. You'll learn something. You'll step forward. Your fear is something that's either going to keep you feeling stuck. It's going to hold you back for the rest of your life, or it's going to propel you to be better. But just remember, if you give in to your fear for the rest of your life, you're going to die with regrets. You're going to be on your deathbed with all these regrets. So why not just ignore the fear, or even better, acknowledge the fear. Say, hey, fear, I see you. I understand how you're feeling, but I have things to do. And so you can just hang out in the back seat and I'm going to do the driving. So feel the fear, do it anyway. And then the last thing that I've learned is that people don't know how you feel unless you show them. I had to teach this to my fiance Jason early on in our relationship because in the beginning of the relationship, I was always writing him sweet little notes and letters and cards, leaving them all around the house. And he had a really hard time expressing himself. And he had this saying that was, what's understood doesn't need to be explained. So he thought that, like, it was understood how he felt about me, but it wasn't. And so I had to teach him that, no, like, you might think that people can read your mind or people just know, but unless you outright say it, people aren't going to get it. So sometimes this can go both ways. So it can either be you'll need to tell or show somebody how you feel about them in a positive way. And then there's going to be some cases where you're going to need to put your poker face on, where you're not going to want to show somebody how you're feeling because they might want to manipulate you, or, you know, you give your cards away and then they'll, I guess, know how to play the game against you. This is something that I learned in parenting as well. So when I used to punish Jalen, my 13-year-old bonus son, I would punish him and then I would feel really bad. So I'd go upstairs and I'd find him and I would just like break down and be like, I'm so sorry. I feel so bad. And so I noticed when I did that, after I started doing that, every time that I would punish him, he'd get really like sob story and start making that face like that he was really upset and really hurt. And I didn't know if it was genuine, so I asked him, and thankfully he is straightforward about how he's feeling. But I asked him, I said, do you only act like that when I punish you because you know that it's going to like make me come upstairs and apologize to you? And he said, yeah. He would act more dramatically than he felt because he wanted to manipulate me into feeling bad. And that's when I realized that sometimes I had to keep my poker face on and just move forward and be firm on what I was saying, firm on my choices, firm on what I was saying. And even if I didn't like fully believe or understand what I was saying, I had to choose an approach and stick to that approach. So when you're feeling intimidated or if you're feeling unworthy, etc., sometimes you just have to put on a brave face and show up. And this is probably why people often think that I'm more confident than I really am, because last time I went home to visit my family, my brother said something about me always being confident or appearing confident, and I was surprised, but I guess it's because a lot of times I go into a situation where I'm not confident, but I stand up straight and I lift my head up and I just pretend I know what I'm doing. And I'm not always the greatest at this one. It's something that I'm always working on, but But just remember that people aren't going to know how you feel unless you show them. So use that to your advantage. Sometimes that means making sure that you're being upfront with the people that you appreciate and the people that you love. And then sometimes it means that you have to stay, there's no other way I can think of saying it, keep your poker face on when you need to. So there you have it, my top 10 life lessons that I have learned by the age of 29. Don't forget to check out the Self-Care Builder course in the show notes or by visiting laurenkepler.com and clicking on the courses at the top. You can also connect with me on Instagram at Lauren M. Kepler. Send me some DMs, chat me up, slot in my DMs. And then next week we're going to talk about how you can become more confident, and I will give you some actionable tips to make this happen so that you can start to show up in social situations feeling more worthy and confident. And before I let you go, I just want to remind you that you are enough and you are doing enough.